I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down by my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
I'm going to ask Alexis to flash up the pictures from, these are a few of the pictures from our mission trip this week to El Salvador. We had an amazing week of ministry, and we want to say thank you to all the church members who helped make this trip possible, and for those of our team who went with us. We learned a lot about each other over 7 days. Number one, we found out that Curtis Kleinard and Joe Livsky and George and Victor Hall are rebar bending machines. We were bending the rebar for columns to help build a high school that will be run by the Methodist Church there, and we worked hard. And then we also learned that that Dana Jenkins is just a kid herself, okay? We had a wonderful vacation Bible school. We had 60 children in two sessions every day, and we had a great time playing and singing, and then we also had the opportunity of putting together bags of food and then delivering those bags to people in the community who were in need. And we, along with a translator and the pastor of the church where we were working, went around into these homes in the community and got to visit and be with those people. It was an amazing opportunity. We ate pupusas. We got into some wonderful natural hot springs to rest after it was done, and we just enjoyed each other's company. And so I want to say thank you to all of those who participated. This morning, our communion servers will be members of our El Salvador mission team, and we didn't get back until about 8:30 last night. So these are some weary folks, but they are here to serve you this morning as they have served the people of El Salvador. Transition. We have now moved into a season of transition. And with the season of transition comes anxiety and worry. And I must admit that as I prepare for the second time in a short amount of time to move again, I am a little anxious, as I know that you are probably anxious as well. And yes, and Scott, you have to keep your mouth closed. One of my biggest vices or sins is I worry a lot. And because he will tell you how much that is real about me. But anyway, the reality of life is that change comes, that we are put in situations where things will be different. And we have to think about how are we going to respond to those situations as they come in our lives. And we all have worries. We worry about whether the bills are going to be paid or whether there's going to be enough food to share. We worry about the things that of life that sometimes we can control and sometimes we can't. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you." Now let me summarize that that very easy verse for you. Your worries matter to God. This verse tells you that our worries are a sign that we do matter to God. In the midst of this time of transition, this church matters to God. And He expects it to step up to the plate and to move forward. In the passage that Jeff just read for you, we are told that God wants to take care of us, just as a shepherd takes care of their sheep. Now, we didn't live in an agricultural lifestyle like they did back then. But the reality of it was that sheep were pretty stupid animals. Okay? They would wander off. They wouldn't do what they were supposed to do unless they had a strong shepherd to guide them. And so Jesus is our shepherd. And as the good shepherd, which is what He is called in the scripture more than once that Jeff just read for you, we need to remember that God will guide me when I need direction. One of the things that fascinates me is to see how Jesus looked at people. Unlike most of us, Jesus, when He looked at people, He didn't see a bunch of nameless faces or bland personalities or a bunch of hang-ups or a bunch of hiccups. He saw people. People who mattered to Him. People who needed guidance and direction. Why is it that a flock of sheep with no shepherd at all is so sad? It's because they are helpless. Sheep have no sense of direction. And without leadership, sheep will just wander off. They might even go over a cliff because they don't know where they're going. When you allow the Lord to become your shepherd, you can read His word for guidance. You can actually talk to Him and ask Him for direction. And He promises that He will lead you where you need to go. And if I am in His flock and He is my shepherd, I matter to Him. And I don't have to worry. Because He's the good shepherd. And because He's the good shepherd, He will guard me when I face difficulty. The scripture says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He's not just a shepherd that's going to lead us around and then abandon us when something bad happens. He's with us even in the difficult times. Think about it. Dogs can bite. Cats can scratch. But sheep really don't have much of a defense mechanism except running away. And they need protection. And that is the job of the shepherd. We need protection. And that is the job of the good shepherd. Notice that I said that the shepherd guards us from difficulty. He didn't say that. He says He guards us when we face difficulty. Because we know there are times when we are going to encounter things that are difficult. just like sheep are going to encounter bears and lions and things that will hurt them, so will we be in that same position. If Jesus is my good shepherd, nothing can touch me without his permission. And however, if he does permit something to touch me, then it has to be for my good. I may not understand it. I may not be able to explain it. But I believe that God does provide good for all of us, even in the problems and tragedies of life. Because Jesus is the good shepherd, then we know that there is no problem bigger than the God that is above us. The shepherd who gave his life for us also came back from the dead to prove that if he can conquer death, he can conquer anything. And if I am a member of his flock, if I am his child, then he is my shepherd, and there is no need to worry. This morning we come to our church, and we hear words that kind of were surprised to us maybe. And we are now ready to enter this time of transition. And as I enter this time of transition, it's important for me to know. It's important for all of us to know who is in charge. It is not the bishop. It is not the district superintendent. It is not a committee in this church or even a group of people who are concerned. It is Christ who is in charge, and he is our good shepherd, and he has laid down his life for us, and he will be with us as we move into the coming day and as we prepare to begin something new and exciting, because he is our God and we praise him as being our good shepherd. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This morning we join together and we share in Christ's holy meal. So I invite all now to prepare your hearts and your minds to receive Jesus.